Today's daf is Yuma daf Yud Zayin, and we are two lines from the top of daf Yud Zayin Omer Aleph, Rab Ada Berei de Rab Yitzchak Omar. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Shmuel ben Tehila, Devorah bas Mecha, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Chaya Devorah bas Sarah Sprinza, Rafal Yaakov ben Rachel Chava, Rafal Yitzchak Isaac ben Rechama, and Moshe ben Fradel. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos v'yecheskel shrage ben Merol, and today's daf is being learned to Eloi Nishmas, Moshe Ephraim ben Zalman, Yitzchak Asher ben Reb Nissen, and Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So yesterday's daf was very much a digression from the sugya of the beginning of Masechtes Yuma, which is the halacha of Shivas Yomim, Koidim Yom HaKippurim, Mafrishin Koyin Gadol Mibesoy, Lelishkas Parhetra. Today's daf is going to continue on that note and really pick up where yesterday's daf left off. So the topic of Masechtes Yuma, Daf Tes Zayin, was a stira in a detail in a Mishnah Masechtes Talmud, versus a detail in a Mishnah in Masechtes Midos. The detail was, the Mishnah is describing Beis HaMoiked. Beis HaMoiked was an area in the Beis HaMikdash. It was an area that was Chetzir Bakoidesh, Chetzir Bakoil. The practical uniqueness of Beis HaMoiked is that's where the Kohanim used to spend their time. So there were meduros of fire that were lit in Beis HaMoiked, and if the Kohanim ever felt cold or they wanted to sit in an area, they would go to Beis HaMoiked. And the Mishnah says that there were four lishkos that opened up into the Beis HaMoiked. One of the lishkos was Lishkas HaTloim. Problem is, the Mishnah Masechtes Tamid, when it describes the exact location of the Lishkas HaTloim, says the Mishnah, where was it? It was B'miktzoy HaTzfoynes Maravis. It was in the northwestern corner of Beis HaMoiked. The Mishnah Masechtes Midos, when it describes the Lishkas HaTloim, says that it was in the corner, but which corner? Not Tzfoynes Maravis, but rather Maravis Droimis. West, yeah, but not northwest. Rather southwest. So we have a stira between two Mishnayos. The Mishnah Masechtes Talmud says, Lishkas HaTloim, that's the Lishka where the sheep were stored and kept that would be used for the Karban Talmud, wasn't Tzvaynes Maravis. And the Mishnah Masechtes Midos says that it wasn't Tzvaynes Maravis, rather it was Maravis Droimis. And the Gemara answered, Loi Kasha, Amar Afuna, Man Tana Midas, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Ordinarily, if you have a stira between two Mishnayos, it's a Kasha. But in this case, it's not a Kasha. And the reason is because one of the Mishnayos is Masechtes Midos. And Masechtes Midos is not an ordinary Stam Mishnah. Rather, Man Tana Seder Midos, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So the Gemara is going to pick up on the contradiction between the Mishnah Masechtes Talmud, the Mishnah Masechtes Midos, and is going to offer a second teretz. So the first teretz to the stira was Rav Huna, Man Tana Midos, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The second teretz of the Gemara is Rav Ada Brei Rav Yitzchok Amar. Rav Ada Brei Rav Yitzchok said, Hai Lishka Aktsuye Mekaktia. The truth is, both Mishnayos are true. The Mishnah, on some level, was in Tzfoynes Maravis, and the Lishka, on some level, was in Deroimis Maravis. Meaning, on the one hand, you can look at it as if it was northwest. You could also look at it as if it was southwest. How's that possible? So the Gemara says, Aktsuye Mekatsya. It wasn't in any one of the corners. Rather, it was a shtickle in southwest, and it was a shtickle in northwest. And the easiest way to visualize this is if you would take the Beis HaMoiked and you would create it four quadrants. So you would have not just the corner as in the pina, but really you would turn the entire Beis HaMoiked into four boxes. So the western side would have part of the Lishkas HaTloim on the northern part of it, and part of the Lishkas HaTloim would be on the southern part of it. So it wasn't in either one of the corners. But if you were going to create an entire quarter of the room being Tzfoynes Maravis, an entire quarter of the room being Maravis Deroimis, so the Lishkas HaTloim would end up being both in Tzfoynes Maravis and in Maravis Deroimis, and that's why one Mishnah says Tzfoynes Maravis, the other one says Deroimis Maravis. Ordinarily, you would think it's a stira. If it meant the corner, then it's a stira. Obviously, it can't be in both corners. The Teretz says it doesn't mean the corner. It means that quadrant of the room, and the truth is it was in both. And because it was in both, it was both true. Now, Why would one Tana choose to describe it as being in Tzvoinis Maravis and the other one choose to describe it as being Maravis Deroimis? So the Gemara gives a little bit of an explanation. Somebody that was walking in from Tzofin, he thought that it was in Darim. And the reason is, if you walked into the Beis HaMoiked from the Tzofin side, you saw it wasn't in the Tzofin corner. The Tzofin corner is right in front of you. You see it's not there. So you assume that it's in the Darim corner. So the Tana of the Mishnah is looking at it from the vantage point of someone that's walking in through Tzofin. In his mind, he sees it more in Darim. And that's why he referred to it as being Maravis Darim. So the Asim is Darim, and the other Tana looked at it from the vantage point of someone that's walking in from Darim. It looks like it's Bitzofin. The point is, it was in both quadrants. It was Sai Tzvoinis Maravis, it was Sai Maravis Droimis. Therefore, it's not a steer. The fact that one Tana referred to it as Tzvoinis Maravis, the Tana Masechtis Tomid, and the other Tana, the Tana Masechtis Midas, referred to it as it was in Maravis Droimis. But the Gemara adds one connection. It says, Mistaber de Maravis Droimis Havoi. It's Mistaber that even though it was on both sides, but it was Be'ikr, it was primarily in Maravis Droimis. As if to say, the majority of this Lishka was in the Maravis Droimis side. Why? Says the Gemara, how do you know that? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that. Because the truth is, there's another stira between the two Mishnayos. We've been focusing on the stira between the Mishnah Masechtes Tamid, the Mishnah Masechtes Midos, as to the exact precise location of the Lishkas HaTloim. That's been the focus of this part of the sugya. But the Gemara says it's really another kasha, and that is, there's a stira as to the exact location of the Lishkas Lechem Aponim. So the Mishnah in Talmud and the Mishnah in Midos both describe one of the four Lishkas as being the Lishkas Lechem Aponim. And there's a stira between the two Mishnayas regarding exactly where it was. Now the truth is, if you go through the Mishnayas and you try to find the stira, it's going to be very difficult. And the reason is because only one of the two Mishnayas actually mentioned the location of the Lishkas Lechem Aponim. The other Mishnah didn't even mention it. The Mishnah Masechtes Midah said very clearly, Droimis Mizrachis, he Lishka Shaya Oisim Ba Lechem Aponim. That was the Lishka where they used to make the Lechem Aponim. Now, the first Mishnah, the Mishnah Masechtes Tamid, never mentioned the location of the Lishkas Lechem Aponim. In fact, the first Mishnah mentioned the four Lishkas. It said where the Lishkas HaTloim was, it said it was in Tzvoinis Maravis, and then it just mentioned the other three Lishkas by name, and never even said where it was. So you can't really ask a stira as to the location of the Lishkas Lechem Aponim between two Mishnayas if one Mishnah listed the location and the other Mishnah did not list the location. So what's the stira? The stira is because the Gemara assumes that once the Mishnah mentioned the location of the first of the four Lishkas, the Mishnah Masechtes Tamid, that mentioned that the Lishkas HaTloim was in Tzvoinis Maravis, the assumption is that there's some seder, there's some methodology in terms of where the other three Lishkas were. Meaning, there's a formula. I'll tell you where the first Lishka was. Tein lo chacham v'yech gamay, just connect the dots, and you should be able to figure out where the fourth Lishka was. And or the third, or the second. Meaning, once you know the starting point, so then you'll be able to figure out where the other Lishka is what. And the Gemara is asking that if you're going to go ahead and make that cheshbin, you're going to end up having a problem. And the reason you end up having a problem is because at the end of the day, the Lishkas Lechem Aponim is not going to be in Droimis Mizrachis, which is where the Mishnah in Masechtes Midas described it as being. So again, we're going to focus now on a stira as to the exact location of the Lishkas Lechem Aponim. So to be clear, we don't really have a stira, because we have a Mishnah Masechtes Midas that tells us where the Lishkas Lechem Aponim was. It was in Droimis Mizrachis, and we have a Mishnah and Masechtes Tamid that doesn't say anything. But at the same time, the Gemara thinks there's a kasha over here. And the reason the Gemara thinks there's a kasha is because the Gemara thinks that once the Mishnah told us that where the Lishkas HaTloim was, and that was in Tzvoinis Maravis, and the Mishnah mentioned that that's the first of four Lishkas, and the Mishnah mentions the Seder of the other three. The second one was the Lishkas HaChesomais. The third one was the Lishkas Beis HaMoiked. The fourth one was the Lishkas Lechem Aponim. So I should be able to do a little bit of math and figure out where the Lishkas Lechem Aponim is. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to end up with a stira. So without knowing what exactly the stira is, but with that high-level introduction, the Gemara says that I'll prove to you a little bit of a cheshbon. I'll prove to you that the Iker of the Lishkas HaKloim was in Maravis Deroimis, meaning even though the Mishnah Masechtes Tamid said that it was in Tzvoinis Maravis, but That's because looking at it from the vantage point of someone walking in from Dorim, you would see it in Tzvainus Maravis. That's why the Mishnah said that. But Be'ikur, you want to know where it was? It was really in Maravis Ravis. How do I know that? Because the Gemara asked the stira between the two Mishnayas as to the exact location of the Lishkas Aponim, the Lacham Aponim. That stira we just said that is inferred, it's not Mefurish, Mishanina, and there was a Teretz. Om Ravuna Breid Rav Yeshua, Ravuna Breid Rav Yeshua said, Mar Kachashav Derech Yemin, U Mar Kachashav Derech Smol. The Teretz to the stira is one Tana is counting Derech Yemin. He's going counterclockwise in English, and the other Tana is going derech smile. He's going clockwise. So the Gemara says like this. Again, we'll make sense of all this. Bishlam, if you're going to tell me that the Lishkas Atlon was in Maravis Deroimis, Hainu de Metaritz, then I understand what the Gemara means when it says Lechem Aponim, Alechem Aponim. So you can answer the stira. What's the stira? So again, a picture's worth 1,000 words. But if you have a picture and you put the Lishkas Atloim in Maravis Deroimis, and then you go Derech Smoil, which is clockwise, and you count 1, 2, 3, 4, with the Lishkas Lechem Apana being the fourth, because it was the fourth of the Lishkas that we mentioned, the Mishnah Mesachtes Tamid, the fourth Lishka then is going to be Deroimis Mizrachis, which is the Lishkas Lechem Aponim, which is exactly what the Mishnah Masechtas Midah said. So if you're going to tell me that the Iker corner of the Beis HaMoiked, where the Lishkas Atlan was Maravis Deroimis, not Maravis Tzafoinis, then you can answer the stira with regards to the exact location of the Lishkas Lechem Aponim by saying one's going Derech Yemin, one's going Derech Smoil, meaning the Mishnah Masechtas Midah is, it's not so important that it's going Derech Yemin. The Iker is, it mentioned that it was in Deroimis Mizrachis. That's where it was. And the other time is going Derech Smoil. So if Tzfoinis, if Maravis Deroimis is 1, Tzfoinis Maravis is 2, Tzfoinis Mizrachis is 3, going clockwise, going Derech Smoil, and Deroimis Mizrachis is 4. So you end up having the fourth one being in the same place. Eliam, Tzfoinis Maravis Havoi. But if you're going to tell me that the Iker location of the Lishkas Atloim wasn't Maravis Deroimis, but rather it was Tzafoinis Maravis. So if my Teirutz of the Lechem Aponim, then you're not going to answer your kasha. Because if you go Derech Smoil, if Tzafoinis Maravis is 1, going clockwise, Tzafoinis Mizrachis is 2, Deroimis Mizrachis is 3, and Maravis Deroimis is 4. If Maravis Deroimis is 4, that means the time of the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid holds Lishkas Lechem Aponim is a Maravis Deroimis. It's not like the Mishnah Masechtas Midos that says it was Deroimis Mizrachis. And if you go Derech Yemin, it's going to end up in the same place as well. The point is, it's not going to be a Teretz. The only way to be Miyashiv the Stira regarding the exact location of the Lishkas Lechem Aponim is by saying that the Lishkas Atloim was in Maravis Deroimis, by saying that the Tana of the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid is Cheshbening Derech Samoil. He's going clockwise. And if he's going clockwise, so the fourth one's going to end up being Deroimis Mizrachis, which is exactly where the Mishnah Masechtas Midas happened, says the Gemara, Shma Mino, the Maravis Deroimis Havoi, Shma Mino. Now, what would be the Cheshben to go Derech? Chimin, Derech Smoil, clockwise, counterclockwise. Like, how do you even know which way you're supposed to go? So the assumption is that if the Tana of the Mishnah was counting these Lishkais and it was tracing it, he was probably going Derech Yemin. And the reason is, the way the Rishonim explain it, is because the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, that's the Mishnah we're trying to understand, was looking at these Lishkais from the vantage point of the Mamuna. Rashi said the Mamuna was the Skan Kohen Gadol, but we're looking at it from the vantage point of the Skan Kohen Gadol. He's standing outside, he's telling everyone where to go, where to stand, what exactly they're supposed to do. So he's on the outside looking in. He's on the outside of Lishkais Beis HaMoiked. Okay, fine. The halach is, you're always supposed to go to your right. So the assumption then is, we're looking at from the standpoint of the Mamuna. The Mamuna is outside, he goes to his right, and therefore the assumption is that wherever Lishkas Atlaim is, from the outside, walking towards your right, that's where the second Lishka is, the third Lishka is, the fourth Lishka is. That's the methodology of the Gemara. But in order to answer the Kasha, what the Gemara said is that really the Tana Masechtas Tamid is not going Derech Yemin, he's going Derech Smoil. He's not going Derech Yemin, which would be counterclockwise, but rather he's going Derech Smoil. Great the Gemara, V'amamar. How could you say he's going Derech Smoil? Kol pina shatapainal, you elo Derech Yemin, le Mizrach. You're always supposed to go Derech Yemin. If you're supposed to go Derech Yemin, how could you tell me the Tana the Mishnah was going Derech Smile, and the Gemara gives a very simple answer, and this will conclude the sugya. Hani mili ba'avoyda, v'lacha chush b'na ba'almo. Yeah, when you're walking, you have to go Derech Him, and nobody's walking. The Mishnah is just talking, and the Mishnah is describing four lishkas, and no one said the Tana of the Mishnah can't be describing the four lishkas Derech Smile. Can be talking about Derech Him. Are you supposed to walk Derech Him? When we walk, we'll remember that, but right now we're not walking. Right now, the Tana of the Mishnah is just listing the lishkas. So all the Tana is doing is listing the lishkas. Who said the Tana of the Mishnah doesn't have a gerech to mention a derech smile, and therefore it's not going to be a kasha excel. This excel includes yesterday's daf. So before the next part of the Gemara, just one introduction. That is, the Gemara is now going to return to the Mishnah on daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, the very end of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that even though for 7 days before Yom Kippur, it was incumbent upon the Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah, he had to train himself. He had to know how to do the Avodah, but Shar Kol HaYomim, as it relates to the rest of the year, the Kohen Gadol didn't have an obligation. He didn't have to do the Avodah if he didn't want to. And Ratzel LaHakriv Makriv, he wanted to, he could, but he didn't have to. Why? She Kohen Gadol Makriv Chelik Biroish, V'noitel Chelik Biroish. Kohen Gadol had a right to do the Avodah if he chose to do. V'noitel Chelik Biroish. Additionally, he had a right to take Chelik Biroish. He had a right to take a Chelik of the Matnas Kahuna as it was being divvied up in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is going to begin now with a Braisa that's going to elaborate a little bit on this idea that the Kohen Gadol was Noitel Chelik Beroish and he was Makriv Chelik Beroish. But there's going to be a subplot to the rest of the daf, and that is the laws of the Lechem upon him. So it's Kedai just to refresh our memory a little bit as to what exactly the Lechem upon him was. So one of the Kalim that was in the Heichel, in the Beis HaMikdash, was the Shulchan. And there was a mitzvah for there to be Yud Beis Chalois, 12 Chalois, Tamid, always on the Shulchan. The Yud Beis Chalois were baked, they were placed on the Shulchan miraculously, they never spoiled, and they remained there for a week. The week began on Shabbos, and it concluded the following Shabbos. During Shabbos, there was the changing of the guard. The old Yud Beis Chalois were removed, and the new Yud Beis Chalois were placed. What was done with the old Yud Beis Chalois? They were eaten. Who were they eaten by? The Kohanim. But this is where it gets interesting. Because ordinarily, there were a group of Kohanim that were assigned. It was their job to do the Avodah on any given day in the Beis HaMikdash. They were known as the Mishmar. So if you're a Kohen, you're allowed to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So does that mean you can show up any day in the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah? If you're the Kohen Gadol, it means that. Makriv Chelik Barosh. But if you're not the Kohen Gadol, no. You were assigned a position. You were assigned a shteller. On this and this day, your family is going to have the opportunity to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. You can show up and you'll be able to do the Avodah. Ordinarily, the Kohanim were divided into Mishmaris. Each Mishmar was divided into a Beis Av. And usually, if you were a Kohen, you got to do the Avodah once, twice, depending on how many Kohanim there were at that time. It was a rotation. That would determine how often it was you got to do the Avodah. Most times, it was about twice a year that a Kohen had the opportunity to walk into the Beis HaMikdash and he had the ability to do the Avodah. But the Avodahs were divided, obviously, amongst the Kohanim into Mishmaris. Each Mishmar served for a week. The changing of the guard of the Mishmaris was on Shabbos. So the Lechem Aponim turned over on Shabbos, and the Mishmaris also turned out on Shabbos. Not coincidentally. What happened was they would take the Yud Beis Chalois and they would divide them amongst the two Mishmaris. So yeah, the Mishmar HaYotze and the Mishmar HaNichnas. The Mishmar HaYotze, this is the Mishmar that's exiting. The Mishmar HaNichnas, this is the Mishmar that's entering. And they together would divide Yud Beis Chalois. So ordinarily, all the Matnos Kohuna, everything that was being distributed in the Beis HaMikdash, was divided amongst one Mishmar. But Shabbos was unique because there were really two Mishmaris that did the Avodah on Shabbos. And because there were two Mishmaris that did the Avodah, and you had the Yud Beis Chalois, it was a very special distribution that happened only once a week. It was a very big deal. So the way it was done is it would be divided amongst these two groups of Kohanim. So one Mishmar would get half of the Chalois, and the other Mishmar would get the other half of the Chalois. We're going to learn now there was a machloikus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim exactly how the Yud Beis Chalois were divided. Were they divided 6-6? Or one man d'amar says they were actually divided 7-5, a not such equal yachloiko. And the reason is because there were those that felt that the Mishmar HaNichnas should get a disproportionate part because they're coming to do the Avodah. And they're going to be doing Avodah tonight with the Heichel. They're going to be in charge of closing the doors, which is a big job. And as a result, we wanted to give them a little bit more. So again, Yud Beis Chalois, Shabbos, Shulchan, distributed amongst the Kehanim, divided amongst the Mishmar HaYotzei and the Mishmar HaNichnas, and the Machlokes Tanam, whether it was divided 6-6 or whether it was divided 7-5. Just one interesting thing, and that is, believe it or not, the parasha of the Lechem Aponim is also mentioned in this week's parasha. So this week's parasha is Parashas Emor. The parasha starts with the parasha of the Kehanim, the Kohen Hegid, and the Kohen Gadol. And then, of course, you have the parasha of all the Yomim Toivim. Kiddush, Elam Maya de Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh, Ashatikrois and the Mayadam, on Yantif we lane from Parshas Emor. But tucked away in Parshas Emor, we have the Parsha of the Menorah, which we spoke a little bit about earlier in the week. And we also have the Parsha of the Lechem Aponim. So the Torah mentions the Lechem Aponim, Velokachta Soiles, Vafisa Oisa, Shteim Esrei Chalois, Shnei Esreinim Yea Chalo Haechas, Vesamta Oisam Shtayim Marochis, Sheisha Marochis, Ala Shulchan Ator, Lefnei Hashem. Yodua, the Bnei Yisrael brings b'shem derakeach. Derakeach is in the kadmoin that the Rakeach said. It's in Hilchas Chanukah. It's in Simin Reish Chof Hey Ayin Shom. He says that why is the parsha of the Menorah mentioned in Parsha Zemar? It's this week's parsha. So we spoke about the Atot Tetzava and Tzav. Why the parsha had to be repeated? Rashi, the Ramban, Reb Meir Arik's Ha'ara that the Shoyal asked him, but the Bnei Yisrael brings from the Rekeach a Dover Nifla. He says, why is the Parsha of the Menorah mentioned in Parsha Zemar? So the Rekeach said, because Parsha Zemar is the Parsha of the Mayadim. And this is a remez to a Yontif that's not a Deraisa of the Yontif, it's a Derabban of the Yontif, but it has a Sheiches to the Menorah. It has a Sheiches to the Yikhuli Shem and Zayazah. And that's the Yontif of Chanukah. And the reason the parish of the Menorah was mentioned in Parashas Emor, because Lekka Mida de la Remiza by Raisa said the Rekech, and this is a Remez Nifla to the Yontif of Chanukah in the Torah in Parashas Emor. In fact, he says, what does the Torah say immediately prior to the parish of Chanukah? Right before that, you have the Yontif of Sukkot. So he says, you have the Yontif of Sukkot, which is a Yontif of 7 days. Chutz La'aretz, it's a Yontif of 8 days. You have Shmini Atzeres, for sure, which is an 8 day. And right after the Yontif that has 8 days, Vayidaber Shama Moshe Leim Etzavis B'nei Yisroel V'yikhoi Lecha Shemen Zayizach Kosses Lamar Lahalois Ner Tomet. That immediately after the Yontif of Sukkot with a Shmini Atzeres, you have the 8 days of Yontif. What do you have? You have the mitzvah of the Menorah, because this is a remez to the Yontif of Chanukah. I once heard that maybe the hemshach of having the Yud Beis Chalos immediately after the parish of the Menorah is maybe that's a remez to Purim. Purim, which is Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, so you have the Yud Beis Chalos, that's an Inyan of Mishta, either way, Zok de Gemara. So the Mishnah said, Kohen Gadol Makriv Chelik Baroj, V'Meitav Chelik Baroj. Kohen Gadol did not have to do the Avodah the whole year if he didn't want to. But if he wanted to, he had the license to, because the Kohen Gadol is Makriv Chelik Baroj, and he's noitel chelik barosh. Tana Rabbanan, a brisa that elaborates. Keitz a makriv chelik barosh. What does it mean he's makriv chelik barosh? I mean, he could say, oila zwani, makriv mincha zwani makriv. If he wants, he could say, I want to bring this oila, I want to bring this mincha. Doesn't have to, but he could. Keitz a noitel chelik barosh. What does it mean when we say the Kohen Gadol is noitel chelik barosh? Oimer, he could say, chata zwani oichel. I want to eat all the meat from this carbon chatas. Oshem zani oichel. I want to eat all the meat from this carbon asha, vinoito, and you can take chalom ishtei chalois. If he wants, he can take one of the shtei chalois. So this is not the yud beis chalois of the lechem upon him. Rather, this is the shtei chalois that were brought on shvuos. So shvuos, there were two chalois. If he wants to take one of them, he can take one of them. Arba oy chomech mimais lechem upon him. If he wants, he can take either four or five from the lechem upon him. Rebbe said la'olam chomech. No, it's not four or five. But rather, it's always five. Shenemar, because it says v'hoisa la'aharin uvanov, and we learn from there mechza la'aharin u'mechza levanov. Half of the lechem aponim went to aharin; the other half went levanov. So the Gemara is going to do a deep dive analysis of this brayser. But before the Gemara does that, let's just chazer over the few high level points that the brayser said. Number one. The Kohen Gadol, if he wants to take the chatas, he can take the chatas. If he wants to take the asham, he can take the asham. And it sounds like he can take all the basar. He can take the whole chatas, the whole asham. Someone's bringing a chatas shmeina, and the Kohen Gadol wants it for himself. Noitel chelik barosh, it's something he has a right to do. No machloikis. As it relates to the shtei chalois, the shtei halechem that was born on Shavuos, he can take one of the two chalas. No machloikis, he takes one of the two chalas. What about the yud beis chalas? What about the lechem upon him? Oh, so they're ready, it's a machloikis. The chachamim say, arba uchamish. He could take either four or five. And the Gemara is going to explain when four, when five. But the shita is four or five. Rebbe Shita is Chamesh. The Halach is, he's always supposed to take five. So they're ready to machlokes. So regarding the Basar, he could take all of it. Regarding the Shtei Alechem, one of the two. What about the Yud Beis Chalas of the Lechem upon a machlokes? According to Chacham, four or five. According to Rebbe, it's five. But one thing is interesting, that when it comes to the flesh of an animal, he could take all of it. When it comes to the Shtei Halechem, and when it comes to the Yud Beis Chalas, he for sure can't take all. The Shailas, he takes half, four or five, he takes five, but he's for sure not taking all of it. And the question is, what's the difference? And all the Rishonim ask this kasha. It's a tremendous arichas in the Rishonim. We'll just mention one teretz, and that's the teretz of the Yerushalmi, as quoted by the Rishonim, and that is, the Yerushalmi says that when the Braisa said, Chatazu ani oichel, Asham zeh ani oichel, the Kohen Gadol has a right to take the whole thing, it's talking about a carbon yachid. Interesting. A carbon yachid, the Kohen Gadol could take the whole thing. The Shtei Alechem was a carbon sibur. The Yud Beis Chalas were a carbon sibur. And because they were carbonous sibur, they were treated differently. And that's why over there the halach is, he for sure can't take the whole thing. So what could he take? Again, Shtei Alechem, you can take one of the two. And the Yud Beis Chalas, according to Chachamim, either four or five. And according to Rebbe, you can take five. Zok to Gemara, Hagu Fakasha. How do you understand this price? Amr noitel chala achas mishtei chalas. You said that as relates to the shtei alechem, you can take one of the two chalas. Mani, who must be the tana of the price? A rebbe he, to amr palga shokol. It must be Rebbe who said that the Kohen Gadol takes half. Now, who's Rebbe? Rebbe was the tana mentioned in the price regarding the yud beis chalas that said lo oilam chamish shenema v'hoisel laharin uvanov mechtsa laharin umechtsa levanov, which suggests that he always takes half. Now, first of all, if he takes half, why is he to take five? He should take six. There were Yud Beis Chalas, half of 12 is six. So the Gemara is going to discuss it. But for now, we just have to go through this Gemara with a leap of faith. And that is, the Gemara is saying that if it said one of the two, must be it's going according to Rebbe, who holds Mechz. Why does Rebbe say five out of Yud Beis Chalas? So we'll wait for the Gemara. But for now, the Gemara says it must be the one or two Chalas going according to Rebbe. Look at the next line of the Braisa. The Rabbanon said that when it comes to the Lechem Aponim, you take four or five. Awesome, the Rabbanon, it's going according to Rabbanon, who hold you take less than half, because if you take half, you should take five. Why is it Arba Oichamish? You take Leima Sefer. Rebbe Yoim Loilam Chamish. Rebbe said you always take five, which is Rebbe Shita, that you take half. So Reshev is Sefer Rebbe, Umitzi Asa Rabbanon. How do you read the Braisa? The Braisa says one of the two chalas, it's mashma, you take half. Then it brings the Chachamim Shita, four or five of the Yud Beis chalas, which is mashma, the less than half. And then it says five of the Yud Beis chalas, which for whatever reason is also mashma half. So afraid the Gemara, half, less than half, half. Rebbe, Rabbanon, Rebbe. Does that make sense? Reisha v'sefer Rebbe umetziyot Rabbanon Amar Abaye. Yeah, Reisha umetziyot. No, meaning no. Yeah, Amar Abaye. No, Reisha umetziyot Rabbanon. Really, the Reisha and the second case, the middle case, are both going according to the Rabbanon. Meaning the Rabbanon that hold that you really take less than half, and that's why it's four to five of the Yud Beis Chalas, not five, which in our Gemara means half. If that's the case, why do you take one of the two chalas of the Shtei Halechem? You should take less. If you take less than half, you should take less than the one of the chalas. The Rabbanon, the Prus, the Rabbanon, that you don't want to give a Kohen Gadol less than a whole chala. So if you're going to take less than half of two chalas, you're going to end up taking a prusa, darka shalani lecha beprusa. That's what we break the mittel techala on mittel per matzah by the leila seder by yachat, because that's the lechem oini, the lechem of the oni. But that's not the derech for Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol eats lemashcha kederech shamelochem oichlem. It's the antithesis of the way the oni eats. So lav oirech ara lemaceful the Kohen Gadol to give him the prusa, and it's for that reason that's what we do. Zok to Gemara, my arba yichamish l'rabbanon. What's the cheshbon of four or five? Right, the Rabbanon seem to hold less than half. So what's this cheshbon of four or five? Meaning, when is it four? When is it five? So the Gemara says like this: the Rabbanon, the Amri nichnas noitel sheish fiyotze noitel sheish. We mentioned earlier that there was a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon how they used to divide the lechem upon him. So the Rabbanon held it was six and six. The Mishmar nichnas took six, and the Mishmar Yoytzeh took six. Rabbi Yehuda Shita was, the Mishmar Nichnas took seven, and the Mishmar Yoytzeh took five. And the reason is because they're going to do some more work, and because they're doing more work, they're getting compensated for it. So the Gemara says, according to the Rabbanon who hold Nichnas Noitel Sheish, for Yoytzeh Noitel Sheish, v'schar hagof is daltois, lav mishteim esre, it's loy, but we don't give an extra consideration, an extra compensation to the Mishmar HaNichnas for any additional work that he's going to do. So if that's the case, Mishtei Masri Boyim Miflog. So really, what are you dividing? You're dividing 12 into 6 and 6. Batzer Chada Mipalga. But you want to take less than half, because the Rabbanu Chitas, you take less than half. So how much does he end up taking? Chamesh Shakel. That's the Cheshbon of 5. Rabbi Huda Dama Nichnas Noitel Sheva. According to Rabbi Huda, that holds that the Mishmar HaNichnas takes 7. Why 7? Shtayim b'schar hagofes dalsois, because he takes 2 for the hagofes dalsois, for yoytze noytel chamesh, and the mishmar hayoytze takes 5. So if that's the case, how much are we really dividing? Me eser boi miflug. Really what we do is we're dividing 10. The cheshbon is we take ot. The Yud Beis Chalas were divided, according to Rabbi Yehuda, 2 off the top go to the Mishmar HaNichnas for the work that they're going to do. You're left with 10, and then you divide the 10, 5, 5. That's where one ends up getting 7, 5 plus 2, and the other one ends up getting 5. But the point is you're dividing 5. So you're going to take less than half of the Kohen Gadol. The Shokal Arba, he's going to end up taking 4. Bottom line is, the Cheshbin of why it would be 4, or why would it be 5, according to the Chachamim, said Abaya, is because the Chachamim hold you take less than half. That's the sheet of the Chachamim. You take less than half. And because you take less than half, depending on what half is, that's going to determine what less than half is. What is half? Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, it was divided 6-6. The less than half is 5. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was divided 5-5. Because 2 were taken off the top for the Hagafas Talsis. So really, it was divided 5-5. It was divided 5-5. Less than half is going to be 4. So that's Arba Chamesh. Arba, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Chamesh, if you hold like the Rabban. It's not either 4 or 5, depending on the day. But rather, it depends on the Shita. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to always be 4. If you hold like the Rabbanon, it's going to always be 5. So if the Rabbanon Shita is that it's less than half, how come by the Shtei Alechem, it's 1? Really, that's true even according to the Rabbanon, says Abaya. Why are you taking a full 1? Because Moide Rabbanon beprusa l'avayrach ar lomeis v'lekoin gadol. Darkei shel ani lecha beprusa. But the Kohen Gadol, he has to eat like the Melachim eat. And as a result, you can't go ahead and give him a prusa. Now, if that's the case, let's just finish the cheshbon. What's the pshat according to Rebbe, right? We said Rebbe holds that you take 5. What's the cheshbon you take 5? Because you're taking half. Why is 5 half? We said 6 should be half. Oh, now we know why 5 would be half. According to Rabbi Yehuda, 5 is half. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, 2 were given to the Kayhanim for the Agafas Dalsis. That's not part of the Yachloiku. The Yachloiku is really 10. And as a result, you're going to end up taking 5. La'olam Chamesh, it's going to always be 5. So in the Braisa, the way Abaya learned as a Machloik is Rebbe in the Chachamim, where the Kohen Gadol is Noitel Chelik Reish, means half. Or Noitel Chelik Reish means a little bit less than half in terms of what it means practically. So there's a whole Shulchan Aruch of what it means. Number one, if it's a Karpin Yachid, the way the Yerushalmi learns, Kohen Gadol can take everything. If it's the Shtei Alechem, everyone agrees he takes the half because we're not going to give him a Prusa. If it's the Yud Beis Chalas, okay, it's telling Rabbi Yehud and the Chachamim, and you figure out exactly what the Aloch is going to end up being. Rava, my Rava had a different understanding of this Braisa. So Rava, Abaya had one understanding of the Braisa, Rava a different one. Cooler, Rebbe, he really, the whole Braisa is Rebbe. I mean, there's only one sheet to hear. What was the kasha? The kasha was Reisha v'Seifa Rabbana Rebbe Umitziyasa Rabbanon. Right, the Reisha said you take one of the two challahs, sounds like you take half. That's Rebbe Shita. Then it says less than half. And then again, you have Rebbe who says Aharon Uvanov Nechzel Aharon Nechzel Uvanov. It sounds like you take half. So how do you figure this out? So Abaye said Reisha Umitziyasa was the Rabbanon, and the Sefer was Rebbe. Rava said more Pash, Kula Rebbe. There's one sheet, there's no two sheetas even. The whole Bryce says Shitas Rebbe. The Savalik like Rebbe Yehuda, and he holds like Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda holds they divided 10. If they divided 10, what's half of 10? It's really going to be 5. Elamai Arba. Chamish by the Mishka. So what's the 4 or 5? Right? How does that even make sense? What does it mean 4 or 5? The Gemara says like Kasha, Ak the Ikka Mishmar Misakiv, Hodaleka Mishmar Hamisakiv. There were times that there was a Mishmar HaMesakiv. So there's a long Rashi that explains exactly what it is. But what we need for our purposes is there were times that there were actually other Mishmaros that were stuck in the Makom HaMikdash over Shabbos, and they used to be able to take a little bit of the Yud Beis Chalas. They didn't get a full shear. But what they did was we would take 2 off the top or a little something, and we would give it to them. So in the event that there was a Mishmar HaMesakiv, so now 2 are going for the Agafas Dalsis, Two are going for the Mishmar Mesakiv. So we started with 12. We're already only down to 8. Of the 8, we divided 4 and 4. And that's the Cheshbon where it's sometimes 4. The Cheshbon of sometimes 4, according to Rebbe, you always take half. Sometimes it's 4 if there was a Mishmar Mesakiv. The Gemara says, Eik Mishmar Mesakiv, Mishmaina Baila Miflug, Vishakal Arpi. Eik Mishmar Mesakiv, Miasa Baila Miflug, Vishakal Chamish. That's where you end up taking 5. So the way Rav understands the price, there's no two sheetas. It's really all, it's all one sheet. It's all Rebbe. Rebbe holds you take half. We don't know of any other sheetas. Half is what the Kohen Gadol is allowed. Carbon Yachin, you can take the whole thing like the Yerushalmi says. If it's a carbon Tzibur, you take half. One of the Shtei HaLechem. Yud Beis Chalas, half. What's half of the Yud Beis Chalas? So on the best day, it's going to be 5. I thought Yud Beis Chalas is 12. Back of the envelope arithmetic, it should be 6. Yeah, but 2 don't count, because 2 are Hagafas Dalsas, so really you're only left with 10. Okay, so why would it be sometimes 4? What is 4 or 5? Because Amol Semachzach, it was a 4. How is it a 4? If you had the Mishmar HaMesakiv, it would be 4. But the Gemara says, I hear, Rava, it's a nice pshat, but Yachi, my Rebbe Yoyma La'ilam Chamish. If Rebbe is the sheet that says 4 or 5, and Rebbe is the sheet that says it's always 5, it doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says Kasha, I hear. Kasha means Mishtat Mishvenazar Kasha, right? It's not Tufta, which means we don't know the answer. It means you could say a Teretz, but it's going to be a little bit Dachok. Either way, a very straightforward Mishnah. Kain Gadol Makriv Chelik Barosh V'Noitel Chelik Barosh. The Gemara brought a rather ambiguous Braisa with a Machlikas Abayi V'Rava. Exactly how to understand the Braisa. Hayoitze Min Hanal. Hamura Me Hanal is when we say that the Kain Gadol was Noitel Chelik Barosh. Let's just take something clear out of this Gemara. So what does it mean Noitel Chelik Barosh? Carbon the way the Yerushalmi learns, he could take the whole thing. I am Brishoidim, not everybody agrees with this, but just to pick one shita for the daf, the shita say Yerushalmi is if it's a carbon yachid, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to take everything. What if it's a carbon sibur? The way Abaya learned, it's Machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Rebbe says it could always take up to half. According to the Chachamim, a little bit less than half. Rava said, Kula Rebbe, there's one shita as far as we know, and Rebbe's shita is that you're always able to take half. So as it relates to the raid bite, I think it's kedai to do something we did last week, and that is an introduction to really what the daf is going to be talking about in the coming days. It's also a very important introduction in terms of properly understanding Masechtas Yuma, specifically the historical context to a lot of the Mishnayos and a lot of the Gemaras that we're going to learn. It's Bayis Sheni Part 2. But more acutely, it's an introduction to the Tzedakim, also known as the Tzedukim, also known as the Sadducees. So the Tzedukim we're loosely familiar with from throughout Shas. They were a kat, they were a group of Yidden that were Minim, they were Apikarsim, they claimed to be Jews, and they claimed to have the proper Messiah of what it means to be a Jew, but at the same time, their belief system, their practices, their hashkafas were very much at odds of the Mesorah that we have, the Mesorah of the Prushim. They were the Chachmei Chazal. And because of the differences between the Tzedukim and the Prushim, there was a lot of drama and a lot of turmoil that really escorted the Yidden throughout the Tkufa of Bayis Sheni. I think in order to appreciate some of the sugyas that we're going to learn, it's kedai to just do a little bit of an introduction in terms of understanding a little bit who the Tzedakim were. So the story of the Tzedakim begins with a Mishnah in Masechtas Avos. The Mishnah is in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Antignos Ish Soichai Kibo Mishimon HaTzadik. Antignos Ish Soichai was a Talmud of Shimon HaTzadik. Who are you, Omer? He used to say, Al Tiyu Ke'avodim HaMashamshin HaSarav HaManas L'Kabal Pras. A person that does Torah Mitzvah shouldn't do so with the intent that one day he's going to be rewarded for what he does. Elehev Ke'avodim HaMashamshin HaSarav Shaloi HaManas L'Kabal Pras. Rather, his mindset when he does Torah and Mitzvahs should be that he has no intention of ever receiving any reward for what he is doing. V'hi Meirah Shemayim Aleichem. And you should have Yirah Shemayim. Santignus Ish Soichai was a Talmud of Shimon HaTzadik. He was the great Kohen Gadol of 40 years during Bayis Sheni. He was from the Shiari Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. And he taught his Talmidim Kol HaTorah Kulo. But there was one message that resonated by him, and he used to always teach this to his Talmidim. Al Tiyu Kavodim HaMashamshin HaSarav HaManas L'Kabal Pras. Elehevi Kavodim HaMashamshin as a rab shalei amanas l'kabel pras, meaning a person shouldn't just do mitzvahs and learn Torah because by doing so he knows that one day he's going to be rewarded, and if not, chalila, it could be very, very bad. Rather, tiu kavodim hamishamshen asarav shaloy amanas the kavod pras. The Avos de Rav Nosson, which is really the first Pirish on Pirkei Avos, and this is in Perikei, it's Mishnah Beis, tells the rest of the story. The Avos de Rav Nosson says, Antignos ish soicha hayu lo shnei talmidim. Antignos ish soicha had two talmidim. Shayu shoinim bedvarav. They used to learn by Antignos ish soicha. They had talmidim, their talmidim had talmidim. Amdu v'diktiku acharim. And one day they got up and they asked themselves, you know, Rebbe keeps on saying, al tiu kavodim amashamshin as harav amanas l'kabu pras. He said, why would he say that? It doesn't make any sense. You know why he must be saying that? Because he probably knows the truth. He probably knows there really is not going to be any reward. And the truth is that there's no schar for doing mitzvahs, and there's going to be no einish if you don't do mitzvahs. And that's why he keeps on saying it. For whatever reason, we never really understood what the Rebbe was saying. But it's pashit, that's what he's been telling us all this time. And they said, if that's the case, why are we doing this? If there's no schar, and there's no einish, they got up and they were perish min haTorah. V'nifritzu mehem shtei protzos. And from these two talmidim, there were two movements that began: tzedoikim u'baisusim. Tzedoikim al shum tzedek, because one of these two talmidim's name was tzedek, and baisusim al shum baisus, because one of these two talmidim was named baisus. V'hayu mishtamshim b'klei kesef u'b'klei zav kol yameihem. And they used to, after they left Yiddishkeit, they engaged in real indulgence of this world, and they said that the tzedakim, they have a mesorah, that the mitzarim atzrim ba'olam hazeh, but the truth is ba'olam haba ein lahem klum. And they started mocking the Purushim, and from here began what we know as the tzedakim and the baisusim. It named such after the patriarch of the movement, Tzadik and Baisus. Who were Tzadik and Baisus? They were Talmidim of Antignus Ish Soichai. How did it all come about? Because they misunderstood the lesson that their Rebbe Antignus Ish Soichai used to say. Al tiu kavodim amashamshin as a rab amanas l'kabu pras. Elok tiu kavodim amashamshin as a rab shalei amanas l'kabu pras. The emesis Antignus Ish Soichai was preaching a high madrega in Avodas Hashem. Avodah me'ahava, not Avodah me'yira. He was describing a madrega, but they took it very, very literally, and they had a conspiracy theory as to why Antignus Ish Soichai was actually teaching this. Amdu upirshu min haTorah v'niftzu mehem shtei proses tzedoikim u'baisusim. It's interesting. The Rambam in the end of Hilchas Tshuva, the very, very end, in Perek Yud Halacha Dalet. So the Rambam, he talks about the madrega of a havas Hashem, and the madrega being a oivet mitoicha hava, as opposed to an oivet mitoich yira. He refers to it as a maila gedoyla. Beautiful lashonis from the Rambam in Perek Yud and Hilchas Tshuva. And somewhere in the middle he says as follows. Listen to the lashon of the Rambam in Yad Chazaka. Beautiful lashonis. The gedolei achachamim were mitzavin. They used to instruct l'nevoinei talmideim, to the real clever, the real wise talmidim of theirs, umaskileim biyichud. When nobody was watching, Balel Shimurim, Bizman Sheinu Yoy Veinu Lailo, he used to tell them, Al Tiu Kavodim Amashamshin, it's Rav Amanas, Le Kabul Toivo, El Aho Kavodim Amashamshin, it's Rav Amanas, Shaloy Le Kabul Klum, El Abnesha Rav Roy Le Shamshin, Kaloyma, in short, says the Rambam, of the Me'ahavah, says the Kesef Mishnah, that why does the Rambam say that the Gedolei HaChachamim were Mitzavim L'Nevoinei Talmideim U'Maskileim B'Yichud? This was some covert operation. Why couldn't they just get up and be Mefarsim? Why can't you teach this halacha the way every other halacha was taught? The Teretz is because the Chachamim had a Mesorah that there was a tremendous churban that came out from this halacha. Because there were two Talmidim of Antignus and Soichai, Tzadik and Baisus, they heard this and didn't properly understand it. So it wasn't enough of a reason for the Chachamim to stop teaching it, but at the same time, they understood they had to handle this with care, so they would teach it. But it was something that they did in a very, very sensitive way. So this was the origin of the tzedakim. What did the tzedakim believe? So throughout Chazal, it's clear what the tzedakim believed. They believed in the Torah Shebiksav, but they didn't believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh. The tzedakim seemed to prefer the literal meaning of psukim in the Torah, as opposed to the drushes and the yud gimel midah shatayr and the drushes bam of Rabbi Shmuel Omer fame and the lamid beis midahs of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosef of Yosei Haglili, meaning they didn't believe in the drushes of Chazal. They believed in the Torah Shebikzav. They didn't believe in the Torah Shebalpeh. And the Rambam asks a very obvious question. The Rambam is in his Pirush on Pirkei Avos on that Mishnah Al Tiu Kavodim Am Shamshin as a Rav Manasa Kalpras. He says, I don't understand. He says, I pashut don't understand. It's clear from the Avos to Rav Nosson that the reason the Tzedokim started their movement was because they believed that there's no such thing as Charva Einish. There's no Tchisa Mason. That it's just not true. And because it's not true, so what's the point? So Amdu Pirshu Min HaTorah, right? They said that the Purushim HaMitzan Ratzman Ba'ilam HaZeh U'ba'ilam HaBa Eilahem Klum. That's the origin of the Tzedokim. So why did they believe in the Torah Shebikzav? It doesn't make any sense. If they were Kaifrim, if they push it, deny the existence of a creator, and they didn't believe in Torah Menashamayim, and they didn't believe in all the Messiah, so why did they keep the Torah Shebikzav? The Pashit has no Havana. It's the Rambam's Kasha. And the Rambam answered the Kasha. The Rambam says, the truth is that Tzedokim didn't believe in anything. They believed in nothing. They were Kaifrim, like it says in the Avos to Rav Nosson. But they weren't just trying to be Kaifrim. They wanted to start a movement. They were trying to get followers. He said it was impossible at that time to start a movement amongst Jews that was predicated on a blatant denial in Torah Mesinai. It wasn't going to happen. And from a marketing perspective, if your objective was to try to rally the masses and get them to follow you to your destiny, it was impossible to do that unless you made a concession. So it says the Rabbi, did they believe in Torah Shebikzav? Of course not. They believe that Ein Lahem Klum B'Olam HaBa. So if there's no Olam HaBa, why are you keeping Torah Shebikzav? Why are you keeping the literal meaning of the Psukim if you don't believe in the Torah Min HaShamayim? But they were trying to get people to follow them, and it was going to be impossible if they did it under the banner, under the guise of there's no such thing as Torah Min HaShamayim. So they had to figure out a way for them to be able to somehow fulfill their agenda, which was total chaos and recklessness, but at the same time, get people to buy in. So you know what they said? Torah Shebikzav, yeah. Torah Shebalpeh, no. Torah Shebikzav without the Torah Shebalpeh is a Parsha Stuma. And as a result, says the Rambam, they were sort of able to accomplish what it was they wanted, and at the same time, they were able to rally the troops. Now, this next part is very, very important. We have to realize that the Tzedokim were not some fringe group of Jews that had a little thing going, that were making a little bit of noise and were causing a little bit of trouble. But at the end of the day, don't pay attention to them. Just stay focused, eyes to the ground, and let's just do what we do. The Tzedokim were very, very successful. There are different estimates in terms of how many Jews during Bayis Sheni were actually Tzedokim, but I've seen it as high as 50-50. The point is, the Tzedokim were very, very successful with what they did. There were a tremendous amount of Yidden that crossed over, Rachman al-Islam, and they believed in what the Tzedokim believed. Not just that, but amongst the social elite, they were disproportionately Tzedakim. And the wealthy people all bought into what the Sadducees were preaching. Specifically, and this is the punchline, as it's negated to Masech Tzuma, this is critical. This is Mamish chapter 1, verse 1 to understand the Masech Tzuma, and that is the Kehanim. The Kehanim were the social elite, and the Kehanim were disproportionately Tzedakim. It was a very, very big problem, because the Prushim and the Sanhedrin, most of whom were with Tzadikim and the Tanam, some of which we're familiar with from the Gemara. And when they sat down before the Yom HaKadosh, and they had to vet out the Kohen, they had to know who they were. How do you know if he's a Tzadiki? And chances are he was a Tzadiki. And that was a very big problem. But the Tzadikim were not some fringe group. The Tzadikim were very, very successful in what they had set out their agenda to do, especially amongst the wealthy, especially amongst the powerful. And really, just in terms of appreciating the context a little bit better, when did the whole Tzedaki movement begin? Tzadikim Baisis, they were Talmidim of Antignus Yisraichai, who was a Talmud of Shimon HaTzadik. We spoke out not long ago in the introduction to Daf Tes and the end of Daf Ches, right? The Gemara in the end of Masechtas Menachos, where the Gemara says Shimon HaTzadik, after he passed away, Shimon HaTzadik was the great Kohen Gadol, all time great Shimon HaTzadik, one of the greatest Tzadikim ever. But Shimon HaTzadik, after he passed away, he had two sons. He had a son Chanyoy and he had a son Shimi. And Chanyoy was younger, and Shimon HaTzadik said he should be the one that's going to be the Kohen Gadol, and he really know how to do the Avodah. So Shimi tells him, oh, the first time you do the Avodah, you're supposed to wear woman's clothing. See, he wears woman's clothing, and then Shimi turns to his Chaverim and he says, look at my brother Chanyoy. He told his wife that the first day he gets to do the Avodah, he's going to dedicate it for her, and the way he's going to do it is by wearing her clothing. Can you imagine this is what's going on? This is Shimon HaTzadik's children. You know, the reason Shimon HaTzadik was called Shimon HaTzadik, Shimon HaTzadik during his lifetime wasn't called Shimon HaTzadik. He was called Shimon HaTzadik L'Acha Moisa because he had a grandson who was known as Simon, who was also Shimon. He was a Kohen Gadol and he wasn't a Tzadik. And to differentiate between Shimon HaTzadik and the other Shimon, Shimon HaTzadik became known as Shimon HaTzadik. It was just so that you shouldn't make a mistake and you shouldn't think that this is Chalila, the same Shimon. No. There was Shimon HaTzadik and then this Shimon the Enikol. But this happened right after Shimon HaTzadik's Betira. I always thought Antignos Ish Soichai. The name Antignos, it's a Greek name, I think. Antignos. So this is the Gadol Adar. He's the Gadol Adar, and he has a Greek name. The point is, the Yavon of the Greeks, the Macedonians, like we saw the Gemara, Yavons of Macedonia, right? The Macedonians, their culture had permeated the mainstream in a tremendous way. The 180 years of Golus Yavon was starting to take root. And Golus Yavon was like Golus America. You have First Amendment rights. But at the same time, freedom comes with nisyonis and it comes with temptations and it comes at great risk, spiritual risk to the Jewish people. That's essentially what Golus Yavon was. And you had a very large population of Jews that are being influenced by Yavonim, Nisyavnim, Hanukkah story. And then all of a sudden you have Tzadik and Baisus and they turn it into a hashkafa. It becomes a whole from a cheshbon with a whole from a movement. It was compelling to a lot of people. And a lot of people, Rachman Litzlan, crossed over. But because the tzedakim was so powerful and because their movement had taken root specifically amongst the influential people, the Chum had to go out of their way and they had to make sure that people understood that you have to stay far away from the tzedakim. When we learned Masechtas Erevin, we mentioned an epic thesis from Rabbi Elio Greenzeig. It's in a Sefer Mikra Eda, it's on Parshas Bereishis, it's Simen Yud Gimel. The name of the parak is Lahoitzi Miliban Shel Tzedakim, where he goes on to say how there were many, many things that the Chachamim took very, very seriously, and the reason they took it so seriously was Lahoitzi Miliban Shel Tzedakim. So there's some that the Gemara talks about, Davoid and Yom Kippur, which we're going to get to in the coming days, the Paraduma involved a lot, the Tzedakim. Tzedakim held a Tful Yoyim, can't be involved in being soyer v'sapara. Chachamim davka made the kohen soyer v'sapara into a tful yoyim, but because they were so mekel, they davka made him into a tful yoyim. So they took on all these other chumers, all these other stringencies on the back end to make sure that there would be maila asu b'para. So like this would be machmer on the other side. Nisuch hamayim sugis emesachta sukkah. I mean, these are poshut, well known gemaras where the gemara talks about the concept of lahoitzim miliben shal tzedakim. But just a few mar mekaymes that are not so well known. Number one, and we mentioned this all in Masechtas Erevin, the Vilna Gaon says that the reason Chazal was so makbin on the oina of Friday night, oina's Talmud Chacham is Milel Shabbos, Lilel Shabbos, Veshamru B'nei Yisrael, Es HaShabbos, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says is Rosh HaTevis Biyah. He says the reason Chazal was so medaktik in the oina, they were so medaktik in the oina of Lilel Shabbos Kodesh, is because the Eben Ezra brings from a well-known Karaite whose name was Anan. He was a big kofer. And he said that it says in the pasuk Bacharish uvakotzer tishbois, it means Issa Tashmish. Charish and Katz is referring to Tashmish. So the Vilna Gaon said, Lahoitzi miliban shal tzedoikin, Lahoitzi miliban shal anan, and the tzedoikin that believed, Bacharish uvakotz tishbois means there's no Tashmish. Oinas Talmud Chacham is Milel Shabbos, Lilel Shabbos. That's why there's such an inyan of Tashmish on Shabbos. It's Lahoitzi miliban shal tzedoikin. Rabbi Greenzeig brings another Davanifla from Rabbi Shloime HaKoyim Mivilna. We go from Rabbi Elio HaKoyim Mivilna to Rabbi Shloime HaKoyim Mivilna. So Rabbi Shloime HaKoyim Mivilna said that why is it that Ner Beisoy Adav, right? If you have enough money for Kiddush and for Ner Chanukah and for this and for that, all the sugyas, dalal kaisis, but Ner Beisoy is always Adav. It's always why? Shalom Bayis, Pashup Gadol HaShalom, Pashup Shad is, it's that because of Shalom Bayis. Rabbi Shloime HaKoyim Mivilna said Adav Nifla. He said that he thinks, because we know that Tzedakim didn't have any fire in their house on Shabbos, because they believe when it says like Sevaru Eish B'chol Moish Veseichem B'yom HaShabbos, what does it mean? It means you're not allowed to have any fire at all. You can't have fire. So Lahoitzi Miliban Shal Tzedakim Ner Beisoy Adiv. There's no such thing as a yid that's going to be living in a house where there's not going to be any fire. The halacha is that Kol Oichel B'chi, if somebody eats Erev Yom Kippur, Umesana Ba'asiri, Malo Olav HaKosov, Kihilu is anachi vasir. Right, one of the biggest mitzvahs a yid can do is he can eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Shibolei Halekha brings from his brother Rabin Yomim, the Ochi Rabin Yomim Zeichet Tzadik Levracha Piresh. He said, why is it? He said, the truth is, it says in the Torah, V'nisem es nafsho yisechem betishol v'achoydesh. If that's the case, he says, it's poshut that the tzedokim, they used to fast Erev Yom Kippur. If you take the words of the Torah literally, there's no way in the world you're not fasting on Erev Yom Kippur. So he said, lahoitzi miliben shol tzedokim. Chazal said, you can't fast on Erev Yom Kippur. Not only can't you fast, you have to eat. Not only do you have to eat, it's the biggest deal in the world. He says, why was Chazal so makbid? Why was it such a big deal? He says, this is why it was such a big deal. You know, we count Sfiras Omer, hopefully. But we count Sfiras Omer. He says, so why are you counting Sfiras Omer? You make a bracha. You know, Tosfos asks Akasha that there's a lot of Sfiras, a lot of countings that you find. But you don't ever find you make a bracha. Nida doesn't count when she counts her Shiv and Akim, and a Zav doesn't. It's a Tosfos Akasha. But Sfiras Omer, for some reason, we do count. How come over here you make a bracha when it comes to counting? So he says, it was Lahoitzi mi Liban Shal Tzedoykin, because Sfiras Omer mi Machas HaShabbos, there was a whole machloikas between the Baisusim and the Prushim, exactly how you're supposed to do Sfiras Omer. So this was all Lahoitzi. When we learn Masech Tzeirav, and we mention this in the context of Eruve Chatzeros, that Eruve Chatzeros was a huge deal. Why is it such a big deal to have Eruve Chatzeros? Because the Tzedokim held Al Yetzei Yishmim Koimoi, that you're not allowed to leave your house on Shabbos. And they used to stay put. You know what happens if you don't have an Eruv? You stay put too. Because practically, the kids, it's very hard sometimes to get around. So Chazal felt that it's so important to have an Erev Chatzeros. It's like this, you won't stay home. It's like this, it won't be Al Yetzei Yishmim Koimoi. Lahoitzi mi, he has 50 pages on this. Lahoitzi mi liben shal tzedakim. But we can appreciate this so much more. We understand exactly what was going on. So what happened to the tzedakim? Where are they? What happened to the tzedakim? So most historians believe that they became extinct somewhere around the time of the Chorban. Now to be clear, there have been reincarnations of the Tzedakim. You had the Karaites. They were a very big deal in the Middle Ages, in the times of the Ibn Ezra, and the times of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a lot about the Karam and the Tzedakim. He wasn't talking about the Tzedakim per se. He was talking about the Karaim. But the point is that the Tzedakim, as in the followers of Tzedakim and Baisis, with their specific Minhagim, they seem to have gone extinct around the time of the Chorban. That's the conventional wisdom. The truth is, and we'll end with this, it's really not so poshut, because there are many Gemaras, Gemaras in Shas, where the Gemara seems to talk about a tzedoiki way after the Chorban. Daf Yuram and Aleph and Masech Tis Brachas. Amar lo ahu tzedoiki lebruya. There was a tzedoiki that told Bruya. So we know who Bruya was. Chanina ben Tradin's daughter. Bruya was Rameir's wife. So tzedoiki told Bruya. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Rani akara lo yolada. Mishum de lo yolada. Rani! This was the question that the tzedoki asked. Now, when did Bruya live? Bruya lived after the Chorban. Rameir lived after the Chorban. Rameir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva who witnessed the Chorban, but he lived primarily after the Chorban. So, of course, Rameir lived after the Chorban. And here you have Bruya, Eshes Rameir, seems to be having a conversation with a tzedoki. There's another Gemara, Masech Tis Brachas. This Gemara is on Daf Zayin Amar Aleph. Ahu tzedoki dahave b'shavavusid Rabbi Shua ben Levi. There was a tzedoki that lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, have a komitzar leituva b'kroi, and he used to chepa Rabbi Shua ben Levi with psukim. So Rabbi Levi knew that there's a certain moment of the day Hashem gets angry, and he knew that if you have a rooster, you'll be able to tell from the rooster what that moment is. So he took the rooster and he was watching it very closely. He figured, Kimata Yishaita Alte, when that time comes, he's gonna curse. Kimata Yishaita, not, he fell asleep. Must be, I'm doing the wrong thing. But this is a tzedoki in the times of Shulam. Shulam Levi is already after Bruya. Shulam Levi is the first generation of Amoraim. So here you have already Rabbi Shulam Levi, who's an Amora, and he's conversing with a tzedoki. Another Gemara. A Gemara Masechtis Ksubis, Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amin Aleph. The Gemara says, Reb Zera, he had a solid to Eretz Yisrael. Reb Zera famously went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. So he was going to Eretz Yisrael, like Ashkech Mabar Lamebet. He couldn't find a boat to take him over some river. So there's a river he needed to cross to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he couldn't find a boat. Knock up in Mitzvah Kovet. So he walked on a tightrope, Mamish. He put his life at risk to be able to cross this Nahr. There was a tzaddiki there. So the tzaddiki sees him and he says, "I'm a paziza de kadmisu pumaychelu naychu akati bepsizu zaychu kadmisu." In English, he says, "There, you Jews, you rush into things. You're the same group of people that said nasa v'nishma. You just said, 'Yeah, I do,' without even thinking about it. And now all of a sudden, you're doing the same thing. You're pushing. You're putting your light." Amalesi told him, "Really? Duchta the Moshe the Haran loyzachula, a land that Moshe and Haran weren't zoicha to enter. And Nomi Emet the Zachu says I'm going to be zoicha to be able to go in. I have an opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael. No one knows if I'm going to always have that opportunity. You have to chaper on you. But this is Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira is already a Talmud of Rav. Reb Zeira is already after. He's already after Reb Yeshua ben Levi. One more Gemara, a Gemara Masech de Shabbos. That peiches amid al. These are all classic Gemaras. The Gemara says Ahut Zedoyki the Chazi leRava." There was a tzaddiki that saw Rava to come ayin b'shmaita. He was learning. The yosva it's busted didei tusikara, and his hands were underneath his feet. The kamayitz born. He was fetching his fingers with his feet. The kamaven it's busted dam, and he was bleeding. Amale. So this tzaddiki told Rava the same thing that he told Reb Zeira in that gemara. I'm a paziza the kadmisu pumaych ludnaychu akati bepachazusaychu kadmisu. Right? I understand. You push. You don't think. What are you doing? You're killing yourself. So Rava told him whatever. This is Rava. This is even later. This is a later amayra. So you have Bruria, the wife of Reb Meir, well after the Churban, Reb Yeshua ben Levi, a generation or two later, and then you have Reb Zeira, a generation or two after that, and then you have Rav, a generation or two after that. So you push and have way after the Churban, you have Gemaras talking about Tzadokim, and the truth is, there's many, many Gemaras like this. But this is very important to knowing all these Gemaras. If you look in the Diktuke Soifrim on all these different Gemaras, if you go through the Diktuke Soifrim, Kemat every single time it changes the Gersa. Wasn't really a Tzadoki. And Tzadoki became a code word that Chazal used whenever they wanted to describe a Min or an Apikairis. But for censor purposes, and they didn't want to use a word that maybe would have been problematic at the time, so they used to use the word Tzadoki. But many references in Chazal to the Tzadokim, if you take a look in the Diktuke Soifrim, it's not Tzadoki. It's usually not Tzadoki. It's usually not Tzadoki. Just like the word Min, Mitalmida Yeshai Noitzri, the Rishonim say. So there were different code words that Chazal used to simply not have situations. But the point is, I was just thinking to end this with a Hergish, and that is, Chazal were very threatened by the Tzadokim. They were. They were a very big deal. And that's why we find so many mitzvahs. We just mentioned a handful, but there's so many more where Chazal went out of their way. And the reason is because the tzedakim posed a tremendous threat to Klal Yisrael, specifically in the times of Bayesheni, specifically in the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the threat was the most clear and present. It was a very, very big deal. But at the same time, fast forward 2,000 years later, we're here. And they're there. And the truth is, that is the story of the Jewish people. There have been so many threats throughout our history. And most of the threats have been from the outside looking in. Whether it was the Roman Empire, whether it was the Persian Empire, whether it was the Babylonian Empire. You know, the way the Panovich Rav so eloquently said when he went to the Arch of Titus, he said, "Titus, Titus, Olahavdo," like Mark Twain famously wrote. But the point is Chachma Bagoyim, and we understand that all these oppressors and everyone that started trying to chepping with us, all the daughters, what was their objective? Their objective was Pasha to put us down. Right? They did everything they could possibly do to distance us from Yiddishkeit. But it always backfired on them. Because fast forward, because there were Yevanim, we have a Chanukah that gives us Chizik. And because there were the Romans, we have a Tisha B'Av, which in an ironic way, Shiftecha Mishantecha Hema Yenachamuni. And there's almost nothing that can give the Jew more solace and more chizik than the fact that he knows that every mighty empire in world history practically tried taking us down, and they're nowhere to be found that we're here. And the tzedakim, in a way, this is the enemy within. It's different. We're talking about Yidden. But at the same time, Chazal were very, very threatened by the tzedakim. They were very, very threatened, and they felt that they had to go out of their way, lohoitzi miliben shal tzedakim, because the tzedakim were really, really threatening the Jews, and they were causing big, big tzaras. But at the end of the day, let's be honest, as we stand here today in Tavshin Pei Aleph, we're here and the tzedakim are there. It's a group of Karaites somewhere. There's some tribes that maybe do what they do. But, you know, Torah is knocking and it's proliferating. And the Hoitzim, Yilibin Shal Tzedakim, everything they try doing to us, all it does is it makes us stronger. When we look back at the tzedakim and we realize what a threat they were, and yet we were able to survive that too. Loimi bayo, all the threats from the outside, the Jews were able to survive. But even so much of what was happening inside, the Torah, it just doesn't go away, and it's never going to go away. And that's the story of the Tzedakim. It's a very important subtext to the story of Bayesheni. That's Hashem, we're going to learn Gemaras now, Bakoyanim Gedoyim, and different things that the Chachamim were worried about prior to Yom Kippur, and with the Avodah, and with a little bit of an appreciation of what's going on at the time. There's a 50-50 chance, or better, that this Kohen is involved with a sect that is completely, completely not in line with Torah and our Messiah. I think we'll be able to understand and appreciate some of the sugyas we're going to learn a little bit better.